The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach, because we're only a few days away from Christmas Day, Wednesday, and that is the focus. Christmas dinner, Aisling.
Christmas dinner. We're going to get it done today. We're going to get ahead. We're going to get organised. Tick loads of boxes, loads of top tips for
Are you a traditionalist when it comes to Christmas dinner?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Turkey, ham, stuffing, potatoes, gravy.
Gravy.
The works.
Sides, the works. Trifle for dessert, along with possibly a cheesecake.
I hate trifle.
You know what? I hated trifle for years, and my dad makes the trifle and he ladens it with sherry. Who the hell? It's like sherry. Ugh.
I know.
And it's tinned fruit. Ready-made custard cream sprinkles on top, like it's
terrible. And,
but you know what? Over the last 5 or 6 years, we've kind of moved from this place of going, "Do you want a trifle? No, thanks. No, I'm fine. Thanks very much." To go on, I'll share one with someone. And now it's old age, Kieran. Like it must be like middle age or something. Because I will eat a trifle after my Christmas dinner.
No way. It's such a dad. My dad likes trifle as well. It's just like, it's the same muck if he had to make it. He does. Thankfully, he spares us that. Oh my good God. Anyway. Not a fan of trifle. With no trifle in front of me, I'm delighted
to say. No trifle, no.
What's the traditional, when you were growing up, what did you have for starters?
We would have done a soup or a little salad or a seafoody starter, like maybe a little prawn cocktail or something.
Oh yeah,
like
the classic.
Yeah, which I really would
in
like.
In the big glasses, the tall glasses. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Classic 80s stuff there. We've changed it up a little bit now. So we have a very light starter, again, something like a salad, but we do canapés. And kind of bubbles or something.
Earlier in the day. So what time are you having dinner then?
So we do that around 12 o'clock, half 12. And then dinner is about 3, half 3. We give ourselves a good stretch in between. We love all the little nibbly bits.
Yeah.
Some of which I brought you today, actually.
It's a bit late now, the nibbles. I'd have the nibbles about 11, half 11.
It's almost very early though, isn't she, Jonaby?
But you give your break,
but
your kids
for breakfast.
Yeah, but you're up at about 5 a.m. probably,
I know.
The day is gone.
Yeah. I know.
Time for tea by 11 in the morning.
So we might swim, you see. So we've to allow a little bit of time for that as well.
Oh, do ye?
Dog walk.
An actual swim or just run in and run out?
Oh, no. Well, you see, I swim every week, but this is the dip. Yeah, so we dip in with everybody else.
Yeah.
We
might do that. Do a lot of people do it?
Tons.
Yeah.
Tons. You'd want to be there like an hour and a half to get a parking spot. Yeah.
We go for this Christmas Day run in Kilkenny.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 2 laps of the town. And you can just, people just, some dudes do one, some people just do half a lap. They just, whenever they get to the point in time where they live, they just go home. Yeah. But it's nice, yeah.
It is nice.
Same crowd every year.
Last Christmas, I set myself a challenge to do 100K between the 21st and the 31st of December. So I went out on Christmas Day and went for a run.
Yeah.
And my mother was like so angry because I delayed dinner. And so I need to like,
So no running this year.
But I will bring the canapés. I will bring the canapés.
Okay, so what canapés are you serving then at noon?
So, got a
dinner
couple
time,
for you.
I mean, but anyway.
We have, I've brought you a couple to taste. So, chicken liver pate.
Okay.
My mom makes this with a little macerated cherries on top. So, I serve it on brioche. So, you get your chicken livers, order them in advance. If you get them fresh from like a farm shop or a local butcher, amazing. Most butchers will take a day or two to order them. So, you basically fry off your livers in butter with a little bit of garlic, fresh thyme, really low and slow. Really low and slow. Brandy goes in. Good whack of brandy, burn that off, and then you blitz it with cream and butter. And then you put it in a pot, cover it with a little bit of melted butter, and then that's good for like 3 or 4 days. It rarely lasts that long, but it is delicious. It's really good. Do you want
to
taste?
So this is it, yeah. So it's funny, I love pate.
Oh, do you?
Love it. Couldn't eat liver.
Oh, yeah, I know, I'm the same.
Yeah.
I like liver. No.
Who are these
even
weirdos?
Like the taste of liver.
Yeah.
No, this is lovely. This is really, really nice. It's a really nice one. And it's a real get ahead one, so you can make that ahead. I think serving it on the brioche is delicious.
Lovely.
Isn't it really good?
The cherry thing on top is so nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So what I did was I bought in the supermarket, you can buy a black cherry conserve or like jam. And I put like, let's call it 2 tablespoons of sugar, 2 tablespoons of water and about 10 cherries, like because they're in the supermarkets at the moment, in a saucepan. Let them just cook down just for like 4 or 5 minutes, then take them off the heat, stir that jam through. And then store that in a little glass jar in the fridge. I mean, with cheese. It's delicious with cheese.
Okay.
Really, really nice. Gorgeous with the pate. It's a real winner. The next one is smoked salmon pate. I love smoked salmon pate. Or smoked trout pate is really, really nice. So this is cream cheese, cream, butter, smoked salmon.
Also good.
Yeah, look. I mean, and there's a lot of butter and a lot of cream here. But it's delish. Blitz that down. And then optional is to put a little bit of lemon zest, little bit of black pepper or pink peppercorns in there for a little bit of heat. It's really nice. And then serve it with pickled cucumber. And the pickled cucumber is lovely. I really love pickled. I'm not a fan of, like, a massive fan of cucumber on its own, but pickle it and I will just eat it.
Really?
Oh yeah, love it. Really good. So 100 mils of white wine vinegar, 100 mils of water, sugar, salt, and then just chop up your cucumbers, pop them in. And those cucumbers are good for like a week and a half, 2 weeks in the fridge, in that is sealed in a glass jar.
Yeah.
So they work. So they're really nice.
This brings us now to the danger, you see, of the canapés.
I know, you eat
too many. I've eaten both of those.
Yeah.
This is a sandwich, basically.
Just a nibble, like, just a nibble.
And I keep going.
Yeah, you do keep going. That's why we leave the gap of the 3 hours, because we do need the gap, because there's loads of lovely bits.
That is so good.
It's really, really nice. I've done a Christmas cookbook, by the way. So it's an ebook, a digital download. There is 100 pages, 65 recipes in it. All of these recipes are
okay.
So everything you're looking for, there's kataifi prawns with a mango mayonnaise, there's tons of ideas for nibbles and canapés in there.
And let's, before we get on to the other food you have here then, say in the book, do you deal with like people who are maybe cooking for the first time and they're trying to work out how much meat they need, how much potato, go, well, geez, he'll go back up for another 4 roast potatoes, yeah. And then, you know, yeah. But he won't eat any, so that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it deals with all of that. So in there, there's a 48-hour time planner that steps you through from Christmas Eve all the way through to Christmas Day, like from 8:30 in the morning, take the turkey out of the oven or out of the fridge, let it come to room temperature for 30 minutes, preheat your oven now, now take the turkey out, now put the roasties in, how long to rest the turkey for. As a really good guide for that, you're talking probably 700, so raw turkey-wise, 750 grams
per person.
Per person, when you're ordering it off the butcher.
All right, okay.
As an example. So that's carcass, meat, the whole lot. And then when you're serving it up, cooked weight, you're probably talking maybe like 150 grams each per person of your turkey and your ham. So 300 grams. And that's a fine dinner.
Yeah, that is a big dinner.
It is. Great.
Isn't the challenge is just trying to get everything hot. As someone said, like, you know, you're just cooking a turkey at the end of that. You're just making gravy. You're just but it's trying to do everything so it
totally. That's
sinks.
The really hard part.
That's the hard bit, isn't
it? Really, really hard part. So, like, your turkey rule of thumb, I suppose, is cook your for every kilo of your turkey for about 40-45 minutes. Then kind of give it 20 minutes over that, and then some people will tell you that you should rest your turkey for 2 hours. If you're cooking a turkey for 4 hours, rest it for half that time, so rest it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I would kind of go the 30 minutes to 45 minutes is. Look, longer would be better, but that works. So 45 minutes. So when you take it out, parchment paper over the top, tinfoil over the top, and then throw a big bath towel in your tumble dryer or put on a radiator, get it super warm, and then put that over your turkey to keep it super, super warm.
Okay.
Make the gravy in advance and store it in a thermos flask if you've got a flask. That will keep it piping hot.
Yeah. So
have it piping hot. Put that in the flask and then you can just take it out of the flask and that one's ready to go.
Oh, when you're not taking out another pot or pan at the last dying moments.
Yeah,
I see.
If you're not going to make your gravy from scratch, right, because a lot of people won't, you can kind of pimp up gravy granules. So let's say you're going to go down the cheaty kind of route.
Yeah.
Take your gravy granules, make your gravy granules up, but don't make them with water. Make them with a really good stock. So you can buy bone broth. There's a couple of different companies.
The turkey juice as well.
Put those in as well. Splash of white wine, fresh rosemary, fresh thyme sprigs, and just let them infuse.
Yeah.
Just let it warm all the way through. And what you could do, a lot of the supermarkets this year and last year have started doing really nice poultry gravies and turkey gravies. So you could buy a little pot of that.
Okay.
And put that in with your own one. And it's going to taste really, really good. It's a cheaty way to make a really nice gravy for Christmas Day.
Sounds good. So
starters.
We're up to starters here. So what this is...
your favourite, I think, if my brain remembers correctly.
Well done, Aisling. I will always go for a goat's cheese and beetroot.
There you go.
Always, if I have the opportunity.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's lovely. So I have two that they're my fail-safe for Christmas. One is blue cheese, pear and parma ham salad.
Yeah, that's lovely.
With honey mustard dressing. Which is the goat's cheese, the roast beets and the candied walnuts with a creamy balsamic dressing.
Oh, it's amazing.
So you
and the reason I love it as a starter is because it's delicious.
Yes.
And also, you'll never overeat. You'll never, you know, the way some starters, you're just full after it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be full after this.
You're not. And it's kind of interesting because you've got the creamy texture of the goat's cheese. You've got the kind of the density and the kind of earthiness of the beetroot. Then you've got this sweetness with the nuts, which are really lovely. So I have a mix of a couple of different salad leaves in there. And then, you know, gorgeous Irish goat's cheese, Ardsala, Santola, like beautiful, beautiful goat's cheeses. And what you do, what's really nice, just for presentation, if you take two little teaspoons, you make a quenelle. So you kind of pass it from one teaspoon to the other, to the other, to the other. And it gets that lovely shape that you have.
Like a rugby ball.
Like a little rugby ball, exactly. Sit that on top. Your beetroots, I wouldn't go to the hassle of buying raw beets. What I would do is buy the vac-packed ones.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is put them on a roasting tray under parchment paper. And I actually use a little bit of the Highbank orchard syrup.
Yeah.
A couple of little bits of thyme, salt and pepper, or you could use honey instead. So they're kind of like honey roast beets. So roast them in the oven. It just intensifies the flavour.
Okay.
And adds a little bit of sweetness, which balances out nicely. And then with the pecans or the walnuts, you put about 200 grams of sugar in a pan, let it heat up, and then it kind of melts first, and then it kind of goes a dark golden brown colour. And you'll keep going, stir, like shake the pan to move it around the pan, drop your walnuts or your pecans in, and then I dollop in maybe like 25 grams of butter, toss, and then take them out onto parchment paper and you just leave them sit. Sprinkle them with a little bit of sea salt, and they're gorgeous. Like they're just... they're really lovely. The sweetness pairs really nicely.
Yeah, the sweet, because I had some of the beetroot there on its own. It's lovely.
It's lovely.
Yeah, isn't
really
it?
Really nice. So are you going to cook anything for Christmas this year?
Spuds.
Oh, mashed roast croquettes. How many varieties of potatoes are you going for?
Roast potatoes.
One, that's it.
Well, my mother is hosting this year.
Okay.
We hosted last year. And this year we are going to my mother's house, but she asked that we would cook the potatoes because so many people come and she can't fit everything in the oven.
Yes. Okay.
So we are cheating a little bit. We are going to go to the chipper. No, we're not.
my eyes there. It was just like deadpan.
Wouldn't it be great though?
Would be great, wouldn't it?
Chippers. Anyway, no, we're going to Fitzpatrick's, who are great in Kilkenny. We're going to buy they're
peeled potatoes.
Peeled and washed and chopped, and they're vacuum packed. So you just have that done.
Yes.
It's just, and you don't lose anything by getting someone else to do that. Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
And then after that, I don't know, the standard kind of, what do you put? Kind of goose fat. Stick it in the oven.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of tips.
All right, okay.
So, parboil your potatoes first.
I would say. Okay.
You don't have to, but you can. I think it kind of gets a nicer, fluffier one. Maris Piper potatoes work
for really how long do you parboil them?
So, I mean, it depends. Like, if you're doing 20, 40 potatoes, like.
More than that.
Are you?
Well, sorry, 40
potatoes. Yeah, you probably are doing 40 potatoes.
Individual roast, say, so once they're chopped, about 80.
Oh, Jesus.
But what's that? That's maybe 40 potatoes.
Yeah.
30 to 40 actually. All right, potatoes.
You might have to do them in two batches.
Mm.
Parboil them in two batches. Give them maybe like 15, 20 minutes. So you want them to kind of be a little bit soft, translucent on the outside, but still kind of firm on the inside. And so par cook them, parboil them, take them out, drain them in your colander. And this I have kind of been doing, and I think it works, particularly if you're going for the pre one, do ahead, is take your goose fat or your duck fat. So as soon as they come out of being parboiled, let them cool down just a little bit. Don't let them go too long or they go black. So immediately or pretty quickly after, duck fat, goose fat, pick your one, whatever you want, put it in, and then dried herbs, a little bit of dried sage, dried thyme, dried rosemary, dried oregano, those four herbs, put them in, a little bit of sea salt, and then cover them and leave them till tomorrow. Leave them till Christmas Day. So you're doing that on Christmas Eve.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
A lot of that work done. And then put them into, I mean, you may get yourself some of those disposable foil trays.
I think we still have some from last year.
There you go. Yeah, if you wash them out, reuse them if you can. Put them in on that. Whack your oven up 200, nice and hot. Get them really crisp, because a lot of people will tell you roast potatoes, heat up your roast fat first and then drop the potatoes in, which does work. Like, that's a beautiful way of doing it. But this is a kind of a get ahead way, cheaty way of doing it, because it means they're already flavoured. They're absorbing those flavours from the dried herbs. And a lot of kind of times chefs will kind of say, dried herbs, geez, no, you don't want to use the fresh ones at Christmas. This does work. It actually does work, because what happens is you finish them. So let's say you're roasting them, right?
Yeah.
Now, you need a good 45 minutes for them. And because you're doing so many, like, you will need 45 minutes. I think we kind of think these roasties are going to be done in 25 minutes. They're not. They take a good bit of time. So roast them off really nice. Aren't they good?
Mm.
Aren't they? So you're getting all the flavour of the
really
herbs.
Good.
And then when...
What's this?
That's gravy. It's a poultry gravy. I brought you cold roast potatoes and cold gravy, because you for 2 years have been talking to me about cold roast potatoes and cold gravy.
So good.
They're your roasties. Can I talk you through some vegetables? Some sides?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, let's go for it. Brussels sprouts. So with all of your veg, right? Let's say Brussels sprouts, carrots. You want to blanch them and refresh them.
Okay.
This, if you take nothing else from all of this, like, and if you're doing veggies, do this. So I would do this again on Christmas Eve. So take your carrots, peel them. What I love to do is actually chop them like just down the middle lengthways.
Yeah.
So you get like two halves out of one carrot.
Okay.
Kind of looks a bit restaurant-y. Looks a bit nice for Christmas Day as opposed to just the roundy circles.
Yeah.
And then you're going to parboil them again, like maybe 6-7 minutes. But in your sink, have your colander ready to drain them and have your big bowl of ice cold water, like ice cubes, loads of ice cubes in that water and transfer them immediately into that.
Yes.
Let them cool down till they're fully cooled. Wrap them in damp kitchen paper. Store them in a lunchbox or an airtight container. Put them in the fridge until Christmas Day. Take them out, little bit of honey, dried tarragon. Fresh would be beautiful, but fresh is difficult to get in supermarkets. So dried tarragon works lovely. And then you roast those off. Any veg you're roasting, put parchment paper down underneath them because it'll just save you. Like anything that has honey on it kind of caramelizes and burns and sticks. Nobody wants to be doing that on Christmas Day. So put parchment paper under anything you're roasting in the oven. So that's your carrots. Do the same with your Brussels sprouts. Boiling water, shock, refresh them in the ice, wrap them up in cling film. And then what I like to do is the supermarkets are selling vac-packed chestnuts.
Oh, right. Okay.
They're really lovely. They're really nice. If you don't like them or you don't want to try them, hazelnuts work really well or almonds work really well.
See a lot of people put bacon lard on and stuff.
Yeah. See, I figure you kind of have the ham already. So yeah, I don't see the need to have the bacon with the Brussels sprouts.
And people want a sausage in their stuffing.
Yes. You know,
as they're meeting with everything.
I know. It is a lot, isn't it? I heard someone talking the other day about the four bird roast, where you basically kind of spatchcock like everything from guinea fowl to quail, chicken, turkey, a duck. I mean, it's not for me now, to be honest. But
when Francois Mitterrand died, he ate this kind of, I can't remember the name of it, a very rare bird that you eat in France. This is the very last meal he had. He didn't eat for about 8 days afterwards and then died. He knew he was dying. Okay. And he like dispatched his chefs down to south of France to capture this tiny bird, and the bird is drowned upside down in cognac, I think, or something. They dip it into cognac, they drown this little bird, and then it's like fattened over about 4 days, then it's drowned in the cognac, then it's cooked, and then you eat it, beak, feet, everything and all. Ooh. And you eat it with like a towel draped over your head. So that the idea is that like it's kind of shameful to be seen to be eating it. So you're kind of hiding yourself while you eat it. It's this whole kind of rigmarole.
Oh my
and
God.
He did this with like all his family and probably his mistresses and everything, you know, around watching him. He did this and then kind of shuffled off and didn't eat for 8 more days and then died. There's a random little Christmas fact. Feel free, everybody, to share that at the Christmas table. In a few days' time.
That's a super story to share. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, Brussels sprouts with the chestnuts. the roast potatoes we've done. The carrots we've done. Homemade cranberry sauce. Now, I know most people will say, oh, why
buy it.
Go to the bother?
Buy it.
I know. But you know what? If you want to impress your crowd and go, I made my own cranberry sauce. It's so easy to make. It's so easy to make. 100 grams of sugar, 100 grams of water. The packets of cranberries come in 300 grams. You put it in, slow cook it down. Cranberry sauce done. You can put a little bit of orange zest in there if you want, and it's a winner.
So what you should do, folks, is buy it, put it into a, like a kind of a nice serving bowl or something, and say you made it. And that's all you have to say. As Ashley said, water, sugar, you know, you just buy it.
Now you
boil
know
it
how
down.
To do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you did it.
I think I have it sorted. Do I have it
I think
sorted?
We have it sorted. But listen, we flew through some of it. So how do people get access to the ebook?
You can go onto my Instagram, Aisling Larkin, and there's a link in the bio, or go to the website, aislinglarkin.ie.
Aisling, thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you too. To all the team and your family.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.